KPBS On Demand is supported by UC San Diego Park and Market, located in the heart of downtown San Diego, offering an event venue with cityscape views and state-of-the-art technology. Available for events, meetings, and conferences near hotels and the convention center. Details at parkandmarket.ucsd.edu.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Tuesday, April 7th. A fire captain tells us how the recent weather has impacted our wildfire risk. More on that next, but first, the headlines. President Donald Trump is endorsing fellow Republican Steve Hilton for governor of California. Trump shared his endorsement late Sunday, calling Hilton a, quote, truly fine man, and calling California a once great state that has gone to hell. Trump went on to say that with federal help and a great governor like Steve Hilton, California can be better than before. Hilton is a conservative podcaster and former television host. Trump's endorsement of Hilton comes roughly 1 month before mail ballots head out to voters ahead of the June 2nd primary. Two previously closed Coronado beaches are now open after water quality samples met state health standards. The county's Department of Environmental Health and Quality says that Avenida Lunar Beach is officially open and the health advisory for Crown Cove Beach is also lifted. However, the department reminds us that beach advisories are still in effect at Ocean Beach's Dog Beach, Glorieta Bay Park Shoreline, La Jolla Children's Pool, and more. For the full list and updates on beach conditions and info on closures, you can visit sdbeachinfo.com. The La Jolla Music Society kicked off its Jazz Mini Festival last night. The festival runs through Saturday at the Conrad Prebys Performing Arts Center. Last night saw performances honoring the works of late jazz greats Miles Davis and John Coltrane. It was a celebration of what would have been their 100th birthdays. Tonight's free event looks to dive even deeper into the vast legacies of both artists. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
KPBS On Demand is supported by the San Diego County Toyota Dealers, presenting a new 2025 Corolla. With classic styling, available 10.5-inch touchscreen display, Toyota Safety Sense 3.0, and more. See your Toyota dealer for all Corolla options. The San Diego County Toyota Dealers. We make it easy.
A hot and parched March accelerated the drying out of brush in the county. Environment reporter Tammy Murga says if hot, dry conditions persist, fire officials warn of more dangerous wildfire activity.
A 2-acre fire cut Easter Sunday celebrations short for many San Marcos residents. It was the second fire since late March to force evacuations in San Diego County. Ivory Small is a meteorologist with the National Weather Service. He says there's a reason why brush is drying out sooner and why we may be seeing more small fires in early spring.
This winter, we had pretty much winter weather in the early part of the season. Then it just abruptly stopped and it went to something that was even worse than summer.
Mike Cornett is with CAL FIRE. He says the lack of rain and hot temperatures are starting to dry out vegetation and grass across parts of San Diego County sooner than usual.
The grass is still green in some parts of the county, but it is starting to turn brown. So we will start to see an increased activity of fires and fire growth potential.
Small says the region could get some rain in the coming weeks. Tammy Murga, KPBS News.
A new state campaign is warning about a new generation of nicotine products. Health reporter Heidi DeMarco says advocates say as the industry evolves, so do the risks.
A new state campaign is sounding the alarm about high-dose vapes and nicotine pouches. It's called Not Your Lab Rat, and it targets young adults 18 to 24. It's funded by the state's settlement with Juul Labs, a maker of vapes. The campaign warns young adults that they're being used as test subjects for these newer nicotine products. John Pierce is a researcher at UC San Diego.
Juul had about 6 milligrams of nicotine, and you'd vape that and you'd get 30 to 40% and it hit straight to the lungs, and so it was much more addictive.
Pierce says health concerns are growing and the long-term effects are still unknown.
We'd have to wait 10 to 15 years to start seeing how big a problem it's going to be. But we expect it's going to be a big problem.
Heidi DeMarco, KPBS News.
The United Nations passed a resolution calling the transatlantic slave trade the gravest crime against humanity and urged reparative justice. County Supervisor Monica Montgomery Stepp served on California's Reparations Task Force. She joined Midday Edition host Jade Hindman to talk about the resolution.
What was your initial reaction to the United Nations resolution?
You know, I had a mixed reaction. I'm very, very grateful that the majority of the world sees the chattel enslavement of Africans as the gravest crime against humanity in the entire world. That type of acknowledgement is extremely important for community. But also, you know, I had to reckon with the fact that the United States, not only did not abstain, they actually voted no on the record, right? And so that is, of course, my country, the country that I do still have hope for, right, that refuses to acknowledge what the world now sees as the gravest crime against humanity.
Mm. You know, and I know that the UN sort of came out with this its ideas of what reparations could look like. How does that compare to what you all proposed here in the state of California?
Well, yeah, again, our proposal, well, our report was about 1,100 pages, right? And at the end of each chapter, we had recommendations to cure that particular subject of the chapter. You know, so, you know, for example, we had political disenfranchisement. We talked about the criminal legal system. We talked about our financial system. So we had those very specific recommendations that resulted in that 1,100-page report. For this resolution, I understand, you know, as the report was, it is non-binding, but it also talks about, has more of sort of a global response to chattel enslavement. It talks about the artifacts that were stolen, you know, recovery of those. And I thought it had, you know, some very interesting language around chattel enslavement. But again, I just go back to defining that crime against humanity. And that is really based on, you know, this type of system at scale and for the time that it lasted, for the way that it still infiltrates our systems, for the brutality that was attached, that it really stands, above the rest. This is what the United Nations said, that it deserves that type of recognition.
You know, just for those who are less familiar with the argument for reparations, how would you lay it out for them?
Well, reparations is simply reparative justice, right? And what that means is there was a harm done, and reparations allows for the system to repair the harm. That's essentially what it means. It means repair of harm. And so in our discussions of reparations during the task force, and California was the first state of its kind in the nation to do so, we really based our definition of reparations off of the United Nations definition. And that United Nations definition has five components to it. One component is restitution. Another component is rehabilitation. Another component is a guarantee of non-repetition, right? Mm-hmm. And so we also have the discussion around compensation. It is not the only prong that we use to establish our reparations framework in the conversations we had as a task force, but it certainly was one of them, right? And so this connection to the UN is something that I did experience through the work of the task force in defining what reparations could be. It's really, again, it is repairing that harm. You know, slavery is not a sort of an abstract historical event, right? This is a reflection of our system that continues to perpetuate itself in the systems that we create in America, right? And so that is really the repairing of harm is so important to the betterment of really all people in our nation, acknowledging that harm and then being thoughtful about how we move forward constructively, I think is important for us.
That was County Supervisor Monica Montgomery Stepp speaking to KPBS Midday Edition host Jade Hindman. Hollywood studios are focused on mega budget epics, but independent filmmakers can make a movie for thousands rather than millions and use crowdfunding to finance it. Arts reporter Beth Accomando says a trio of local filmmakers are in the final days of a Kickstarter to make a neo-noir Western.
Two best friends, one deal gone wrong. In the desert, loyalty doesn't survive. Daniel Figueroa hopes that tagline will draw eyes and dollars on Kickstarter.
So my project is The Last Favor. It is a neo-Western crime thriller, follows two childhood best friends turned criminals who are on the run after a arms deal goes violently, violently wrong.
Figueroa plays one of the best friends and wrote the script for the short film.
A big element of this story comes from the relationships with these two childhood friends, but also our main character's relationship with his abuela. For me, it was really important to kind of bring a part of my life into this. The emotional stakes in this come from that connection, that sense of responsibility to family.
Currently, the project has raised $13,000 of its $20,000 goal with 16 days to go.
So this is my first Kickstarter campaign, and man, I don't think it'll be my last because, wow, it's really changed how I approach bringing these things to life.
You can help bring The Last Favor to life for as little as $15. Or for $5,000, you can get a credit as an executive producer. But act fast. The Kickstarter campaign ends April 23rd. Beth Accomando, KPBS News.
That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. Thanks for listening and subscribing. By doing so, you're supporting public media, and I want to thank you for that. Have a great day.
KPBS On Demand is supported by the City of Chula Vista and the Port of San Diego hosting South Bay Earth Day at Bayfront Park on Saturday, April 18th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. with tips on how to reduce your impact on the environment and hands-on green activities, food, and music. Additional information at southbayearthday.com.